Okay, good, good. Well, we're glad to have her back. Made this contact through Sally Gray, and we're just excited to have Sally here. I think she's going to be probably at a Glow Tuesday. Is that Tuesday? Yeah. And so you can, if you're available and want to go, what time is that? 10 o'clock, still at Spring Lakes Clubhouse. So, but anyway, Sally, we welcome you back. We're glad that you're here, and just bless you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Today is a holiday. Did you know that? Everybody's like, no. I mean, in Israel, we have so many holidays. It's almost yet again another holiday. Well, yes, but the Feast of Tabernacles ended yesterday, and today is what we call Simchat Torah. Simcha means happy, Torah, and it's the giving of the Torah, and it's the starting of when we read from the beginning again in the beginning, okay? So, I thought I'd bring some candy for y'all, Israeli candy. So, in order to get some candy, first you have to ask me, because and please understand that the World Series starts today or tomorrow, and I was not invited to be a pitcher. So if I hit you or overthrow you, sorry. There you go. Would you like some? Who else would like some candy? It's good candy. It's kosher candy. It's in Hebrew. I have no idea what it tastes. No, I do know it. It's really good. Oh, my goodness. You're really... Oh, no. Person taken out by speaker. Details at 10. Come on. I got some more here. Oh, this stuff is really good. There you go, Senator. Wait. I am a fan of the Dodgers, but somehow they didn't make it. I'm not going to throw it to you because I know that your hand was hurt. Let me see. Oh, no, one left. All right, this person has to answer a question. One left. When did Israel become a nation? Oh, you weren't supposed to. No, but you're wrong. Oh, and that's why the Dodgers never made the World Series. 1948, May 14th, 1948. You know, there's nothing better than chocolate, except Jesus. I come to with a word from hope from the Lord. In fact, every time I come here, he says the same thing. Hope in a future, hope in a future, hope in a future. There is one person here that I actually have a word for you. You're the only one that knows who it is, but I'm going to read it, and if it's yours or if it's many people, take it, own it, that's yours. And this comes out of, okay, you've probably heard the scripture before, but would you just hear it again with fresh ears, okay? For I know the plans or the thoughts that I have towards you, says the Lord, the thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me, go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and you will find me when you search with me with all your heart. I will be found in you, says the Lord. I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. I will bring you to a place which I have caused you to be carried away. There is somebody here, or maybe a number of people here, that God wants to bring you back to hope and let you know that He is. And everything that you had said, oh, you know, I just don't have, He's saying, yes, you do. So if that's you, take it, run with it. Let it be, because He is a God of hope. He is a God of future. And that's what I'm about to share with you today, that Israel is still indeed living and active, sometimes sharper than any two-edged sword. No, that's the word of God, but also Israel is the same. I want to share with you exactly what's going on today in Israel. In fact, I just got done looking, and we still don't have a government. We've had two elections. this year, which is the first time unprecedented in the 70-year history of Israel. Israel is 70 years young and 3,000 years old. And so I want to tell you what's going on. And as we were praying, I belong to a national intercessors, national for Israel. In other words, if you have a social security number from the state of Israel, that's who's on this intercessor team, because we realize that we have a responsibility for our own nation. Just like you have a responsibility with your social security number, passport, driver's license, you have a responsibility to be a watchman for the United States of America. And I feel like I have a responsibility not only for the United States of America, because I hold two passports, but also for Israel. So I wanted to share with you what God had put on our hearts as we were praying. And we honestly, on September 16th, the elections was September 17th, we honestly didn't know who we were going to vote for. Israel is not like the United States, where we have two political parties. We have over 200. And the purpose of the person in charge, which is the president, which only has really one responsibility, and that's for him to choose the person who's going to develop a coalition. And who is running is a number of different parties, and from that, they have to develop a majority. And from that majority, then they pick somebody to be the prime minister. Now, you have known him as Benjamin Netanyahu, and for this past time, he is really the longest-serving prime minister. I feel like I'm Trump, and I'm speaking to thousands, and I feel like this is really, like, loud for me. Is there any way we can make it? There. That sounds better. I would love to speak like Trump and have thousands, but that's not my calling. Anyway, so I wanted to share with you what God has been sharing with me, and that is that people there, they don't know who to vote for. We do not know who to vote for. We're like, who are you going to vote for? Because there's the lesser of two evils. There is people that, in fact, what you do is you go into a voting booth and you have this big table, and this big table has each you have these notes, and these notes represent a party. You don't know anything about, you don't, like for me, I probably voted for the wrong party and had no idea, because all they are is letters. And so you don't know which one it is. You don't have, you know, Trump or George Bush or Hillary Clinton. It doesn't say that. It says the party. And so from that, they create, whoever wins that, then they choose a prime minister, and from that prime minister, he has to develop a coalition. Well, right now we don't have a coalition, and we're on the verge of another election in the year. We don't know. I mean, right now is a holiday, so nothing happens. But Benjamin Netanyahu was given the opportunity to develop a coalition, and he has one more week to do it. And if he doesn't, then it goes to Benny Gantz. And if he can't do it, we're back to another election again. I wanted to share with you, and anything I say, by the way, you can use this for the United States, because what happens in Israel is a great reflection of what can and will happen in the United States. I'm very mindful that right now the United States is in the same thing called the Valley of Decision. So let me read to you what God had shown us. And this comes out of Joel 3:12 through 18 is my first text. Let the nations be wakened and come up to the Valley of Jehoshaphat, for there I will sit and judge the surrounding nations and put a sickle in, for the harvest is ripe. Come down, go down, for the winepress is full and the vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Now, some of the key words in there is the harvest is ripe. I'll get to that. Multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. These very thin pages here. And the sun and the moon will go dark, and the stars will diminish their brightness, and the Lord will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth will shake. But the Lord will be a shelter to his people and a strength to Israel. So you shall know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion and my holy mountain. Then Jerusalem shall be holy, and no alien shall ever pass through her again. And will come to pass that in that day the mountains shall drip with new wine, the hills shall flow with milk, and the brooks of Judah will be flooded with water. The fountains shall flow from the house of the Lord, and from the valley, water from the valley of Acacias. Now, in Israel right now, there is such an indecision. People are undecided of who they want to serve. In fact, in Tel Aviv, Tel Aviv wants to be the Middle East capital of the homosexuals. So every year we have a parade there, and that parade has 250,000 people that come. 250,000 people. In Israel, we are the largest per capita abortion providers. Women in the military are allowed 3 abortions paid for by the government. Now, the good news is, and this is where the valley of decision comes in, the good news is that the leaders of the pastors of Jerusalem, and I was there, the pastors of Jerusalem just 2 weeks ago, right before the holidays, came together in the very same place that they sacrificed babies during the time of Moloch. Are you familiar with Moloch? Spirit of Moloch? We came together in that very same place, and as pastors, as spiritual leaders, we repented of that. And the land, and we ask God to forgive us for us continuing that abortion is free, because we have free health care. Abortion is free and demanded. In any hospital you go to, you can get an abortion. I felt very led before I came here to the United States, especially to the East Coast, that God wanted to make aware of that. And so I brought a book that my pastor wrote, Tony, Israel and the Shedding of Innocent Blood. Tony and our congregation were on the Israel's National Right to Life. And he comes here. He came here, I think it was last year or 2 years ago, when Pence went to the March for Life in Washington, D.C. And he's very strong in that. And so this is a book. And I felt led. I asked if I could put the book over there if you guys want it. There's a few there, and I'll tell you about that later. That's not the purpose for me coming, so to speak. I wanted to share with you that people there are in the valley of decision. People here are in the valley of the decision. You have heard Moses say before, choose you this day who you will serve. Actually, that was Joshua. Moses said, I would rather you choose life. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And when you choose to serve the Lord, whether there or here, you're going to come up against some opposition. I don't know if you guys have discovered, but there's a little bit of opposition here in America, if you're a believer. At least I've seen that or heard that, maybe on CNN or Fox or something like that. But I come to you also with the good news, because with that valley decision, there's a wheat and a tares situation going on. And if you look in Matthew 13, and Matthew 13 is the other scripture that God had me go to, and that's the parable of the wheat and tares. Now, in Israel, the land is not ours. In fact, if you were going to buy a house, you cannot buy the land. You have to rent the land from the state of Israel. Who does the land belong to? Very good. Did you get a piece of candy? Okay, good. Should have gotten one. I'll give you the bag. That's all I have left. The land belongs to God, and what I saw in Matthew 13, it talks all about the land, whether it be the parable of the sower and the seed, whether it be the wheat and the tares or the mustard seed. He talks about the land because he was speaking to people who worked the land. He went out to the boat. He was in Capernaum. You know it as Capernaum. I know it as Kfar Nachum. Kfar Nachum means village of comfort. So that should give you a little bit of understanding why he went to that village. Village of comfort, which is really cool. But anyway, he's out there, and the multitudes are there. And so now he's sharing with them about the wheat and the tares. And I believe that we're in that time now. Because he talks about in that parable that the wheat grows up and then they weren't looking and tares came. And if you see wheat and you see tares, they start out basically the same, but then the wheat sprouts. It has these shoots that go up. And right now is the harvest time of wheat, actually. Actually, no, that's Passover. And then the tares come up, and people wanted to take away the tares. And he goes, no, keep them there. Keep them there. Let them grow together. Because in the last days, let me get there. It says, do you want us to go? And I'm coming out of 28. Do you want us to go up and gather them? And he said, no, lest while you gather them, some of the tares, you uproot the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares, bind them in bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Sometimes, as the people do in Israel, as the students do, being the only individual in that whole classroom, in that whole school, that they are the only ones who are believers, and they feel out of place, and they feel like nobody understands them. But I want you to know that God cares that you're the only individual in doing what you're doing, because he's put you there for a reason, to be a light. Israel is known to be the light to the nations. You are known to be a light to where you work, to where you live, to your family. And you're being watched, and you're being seen. Can they still continue to be a wheat? Anything Israel does, we sneeze and the whole world just goes nuts, right? Because we're the wheat. We have tares, but the wheat just stands there while the Father puts the rain and the water on them to grow, just like the tares do. But in the end, he says, they will come into my barn. And that's the hope. If that person who I read of Jeremiah 29:11, that's your hope. That if you stand, like it says in Ephesians, having done all to stand. If you stand, God will be there for you. I have a very, very dear friend of mine who is a soldier. He is 20 years old. His name is Victor. I tell you that so you can pray for him. And his mom is a single mother. His dad, unfortunately, passed away. And he is a soldier in the front lines, literally in the front lines. And I don't know what else to say except for the fact that he was in the congregation. He's a strong believer, and he tells us the story of they were about to go into Gaza because he's frontline for Gaza. I mean, he's one of those, you know. I mean, I show you a picture of him. My dog didn't even recognize him. He was had so much armor on him, and okay, that's not mine. I thought I heard the phone, and it's not mine. Anyway, so what happened was is that before they went in, their commander sat them down to say, okay, let's talk about dying, because some of you may not make it. And his whole company was a lot of religious Jews, a lot of secular Jews. And when it came time for him, that they asked him, well, how do you feel? He says, I'm not worried. I know where I'm going. And if anything happens to me, I know where I'm going. So I'm not worried at all. I have a peace. And that whole company, one by one, came to him and said, tell us about your peace. Okay? Well, one day he comes to the, and by the way, they're putting him up for potential of being a commander in the army. So again, his name is Victor. Please pray for him, especially after what you're about to hear. Anyway, so we're at our meeting, and I can tell that there was something on his face. And I said, okay, Victor, tell me what's going on. And he said to me, he said, Sally, he says, I don't know if I'm going to heaven anymore. And I said, why? And he said, because I just shot someone yesterday on the orders of my commander. And I saw a man die because of me. And I said, okay, Victor, your commander was the one that told you that. You're in the army of God, the same army that David is. And I got lifted off the spirit of death from him. But just imagine ministering to that. I never thought I would. This is very, very real. I mean, these guys are only 20 years old. It's very, very real. It gave such a different heart to me about how much we need to pray for our military. Because what they go through, and some of you guys and gals, I mean, in fact, those of you who have been in the military, can you raise your hand? Okay, we need to pray for them. Doesn't matter if it's yesterday or, you know, years ago. Thank you for your service. Vietnam? Okay. Vietnam? Thank you for your service. Israel in the United States, there's not much difference except for the fact that we're a little older than you. Okay? We pray both for the nation. We pray both for our leaders. We pray that God would not take his hand away. But when he does have his hand there, we pray that grace would be there as well. And he does give us that. I'd like to I haven't shared much, but I'm looking at the time and I don't have much left. So I wanted to ask, does anybody have any questions that I can answer?